This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey there, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show. My name is Jason Cutter. This is episode 645 of the podcast. And on this episode, I'm going to do a recap, summary, kind of expansion on the conversation I had with Dr. Tim Butler. Now, what was fun was between the time of recording this podcast with Dr. Tim and it going live and me recording even this recap, I actually met Dr. Tim in person. He came to Florida with a few other professors, and they were on a panel at the Florida Media Conference. It was a great time. It was within driving distance from where I live in Florida, so I drove up at a special invite from Jim, who runs the Florida Media Conference. And it was a great time. It was great to meet him and Dr. Stephanie Boyer, who's going to be on the podcast. We come up here soon. As well as Brent Boyer from FGCU and Dr. D, who was also on the podcast. So super fun to meet people in person that only chatted with virtually, recorded the podcast with, and got to spend some time with them and learn even more about Dr. Tim and have some really interesting conversations about the research he's doing regarding retention and training and different things like that on that side. So it's super excited to see what comes from that and when that comes out. So let's dive into this. So again, the recap here, episode one is about authenticity with Dr. Tim. The title of that episode is Creating Authentic Sales Relationships. And one of the big things is he focuses on teaching the principles of sales. Some of the professors out there, they're focused on teaching the principles, but around spin selling or challenger or specific methodology. And of course, all of them are working on the fundamentals. But for Dr. Tim, he's really focused on that teaching the principles of sales, how to be ethical, doing it in such a way where you're ethical and you can sleep at night. And that's one of the big things. And when it doesn't come up as much as more for me, but when I used to hire and or train and work with salespeople who didn't want to be, air quote, that person, right? That gross, slimy, manipulative salesperson. The challenge was, how do you go into sales and sleep at night, right? Like, how are you okay with that? How are you okay doing things to other people and being in a sales role? And the challenge is what most people experience as the negative part of sales is just that gross, slimy part, right? That's people don't enjoy yet persists out there in the world. And I think one of the interesting things is how the world of sales is so different and so diverse, and there's so much going on that you can do in sales and so many different ways you can do it that that's not a requirement. It's not actually a valuable skill to be able to do gross, terrible stuff to people and then have that be the mode of sales. And so one of the things I love about what Dr. Tim said was teaching people to be ethical. And he even made a funny joke about, be ethical, do the best that you can. The goal is not to be perfect, right? He's not a perfect teacher. There's no salesperson that's perfect. And he even said something that I focus on a lot in the training that I do is that if you're perfect in sales, then people will be suspect, right? They'll think, why is this person so perfect, so polished, so smooth? Obviously, you want to work with someone who knows what they're doing. If I'm a customer and I'm buying something, I want somebody who is actually a professional or acts like it or treats themselves like a professional and holds themselves to that standard and, can have a good conversation. But I don't expect someone to be perfect. When it's perfect, it's almost too good to be true. And that's what then led into Dr. Tim talking about creating an authentic relationship. And what's fascinating, and this is something he said, is that your job in sales is to coordinate resources internally to fulfill the promise given to the customer. So let me say that again. Your job is to coordinate resources internally within your business to fulfill the promises that you made to the customer. Now, of course, this is a very tough line because sometimes sales will oversell and make promises to customers in things that a company cannot provide, right? Or that it would take tech to develop out and that's not going to happen, or it's not scalable, or it's not advisable. And so I think this is, you got to be very careful with this advice, right? If you think that your job in sales is to make promises to somebody and then get your company to fulfill those promises, sometimes you might write checks with your mouth that your company cannot cash. And then obviously that's going to make things difficult. If you're doing it from an authentic place, from you know the boundaries and limits of what you're selling and what your company is capable of doing and what they're not just capable, but what they're amazing at, right? What is the real purpose and value of the company that you work for its customers? When you know that and then you sell from that place, then of course your job is to be their advocate, right? Their advocate within your company to fulfill the promise that you made on behalf of your product or service. And that's really, really the big thing with this is you've got to be careful in sales. Don't just focus on how do I close this deal? What do I have to say? What do I have to promise? What can I get them to say yes to? And then I'll figure it out later. No, you want to make sure that you know what you can sell, what the options are, and you want to be careful not to oversell and overpromise and then have to deal with that later because, again, that's not scalable. It's not going to lead to long-term success. Those clients aren't going to stay with you. And then what happens, and I see this a lot, and some of you listening to this may be able to relate to this, is you sell some things that shouldn't be sold, or there's customer success issues or implementation issues or anything else like that. And then you're drawn back into those customers that you sold and you're having to do constant customer management, retention, and all kinds of things. And then what happens is you end up in a firefighting role and you're just putting out fires to keep those clients going, which is then distracting you from new business enrollment, right? Like going after new business, new prospecting efforts, moving sales conversations forward, moving your pipeline forward. You get a new lead today, you call it once, and then you're so busy for the rest of the day dealing with some customers that are having challenges or have questions, you forget to get back to that lead. Next thing you know, a few days goes by, you still haven't called that lead again, and then that lead is toast, right? If you do call them back, which you probably won't in my experience, is that if you do call them back and if you actually spoke to them, then they would probably tell you that they already moved on or they already solved their problem or they changed their mind or whatever it is, right? So make sure you don't fall into that slippery slope. Again, I see so many people in sales. Sometimes it's just wanting to please people. Sometimes it's desperate and trying to hit their numbers for the quarter or the month or whatever the period is. And then what happens is it becomes this game of, well, I've got to keep these people going, but I have to sell more. And then you get desperate at the end of the next quarter. And then what happens is it's this cycle all over again. I see so many people in sales who are caught in this cycle, this never-ending cycle of retention and then desperate sales, which leads to retention, which leads to desperate sales, and so on. If you're a manager listening to this, hopefully you can see if this is happening to your team and you can figure out a way to stop it. Again, figure out the retention side, figure out how to get them to stop selling people and promising too much and get things under control. Even if it means you have to stop some deals from happening short term, it's better to stop the cycle because otherwise you're just going to run everything into the ground and it's never going to scale and grow. And at some point, it's literally going to collapse. All right. Probably not what you were thinking I was going to talk about, but it's so important when we talk about authentic enrollments, authentic persuasion, authenticity is really doing the right thing for people and being ethical. And that isn't always telling people what they want to hear or selling them things that they think they might want. You have to be authentic with that. All right, let's dive into part two, which is about persuasion. And in this one, the title of this episode is Help Customers Get What They Want Most. And in this case here, what do buyers want from a salesperson and from a sales process, right? And really what they want, as he says, is they want to deal with a salesperson that's going to add value. It's one of those things where if somebody in this day and age, and I keep talking about this, is going to interact with a salesperson, and if you have read Dr. Dover's book, which I've mentioned several times on the podcast, and you understand that the buyer's journey that most people are going through is more on their own before they interact with a salesperson, then you know that by the time they speak with you, they need something. They still need some wisdom, they need some value, they need some guidance, they need some help. And so make sure that's what you're doing. That's really it. When we talk about a sales process, boiling it down, you have to be the one that adds value. You need to have a process that adds value, not just selling, not just explaining, not just telling them things. And then you, as your job, is to motivate change. That's what Dr. Tim said in the episode. It's something I say all the time, where urgency is important. You have to move people forward. Buying something new means that they have to go outside of their comfort zone, because within their comfort zone is everything that they know now, and buying from you is something new. Again, maybe you sell a CRM. They already have a CRM. You're like, wow, CRM isn't new. They already have one, so it should be okay. But they don't have yours, and they've never worked with you. And so those are two big unknowns that could severely affect their business, right? If you're doing business-to-business sales, that could severely affect things at their company, because of if they make a mistake, that's huge, right? Especially with something like a CRM that could affect everything. Now, remember, your job is to motivate change. Of course, we're talking about authentic persuasion. This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. So you want it to be authentic. You want it to be persuasive and not manipulative. Your goal is not to manipulate change. So many people try to do that. I'll give you an example. One example is discounts. Hey, it's the end of the quarter, or it's the end of the month. If you sign up by the end of the month, I'll give you 10% off, right? You're motivating change. You're trying to create an urgency that fits your timeline by bribing them, right? A discount is a bribe. It is a manipulation. It is, if you do this, I will do this for you or give you something in return. And again, that's manipulation. That's not persuasion, that's manipulation. And so if you use that, you might get them to change today, but then they might change their mind. You might get them to move forward at the end of the quarter, but then they might not implement. They might not onboard, right? Because you kind of bribe them to move forward. It wasn't really what they wanted to do. Now, I know there's people out there who are going to say this, and please feel free to message me. And I've had this conversation with others that sometimes somebody's on the fence, and you want to offer them a deal or a discount to get them to move forward today, and that's okay, right? If it's your overall strategy and the way you're successful every quarter is by closing lots of deals at the end of the quarter because you bribe people by offering lots of discounts at the end of the quarter, I promise you're not that good at sales, and B, those deals are not that good. Now, if you've got people who are on the fence and you're like, hey, it makes sense for you to move forward, if we can do a deal to close it now, let's get you going because this is the most important thing you said you wanted, and I want to incentivize you for moving forward now. If there's a way that you can frame that and do it in a persuasive way, I'm all about that. I'm all about motivating change and getting people to be urgent for their reasons. And if there's a bonus or an incentive, that's great, right? Like, you want to sign up, let's take care of this now. If you do, we do a discount, right? But it's up to you. If you want to wait till next week, that's up to you as well. And so there's always a fine line. And it really comes down to intent of whether you are using that for persuasion or manipulation. But again, remember, your job is to motivate change. When I train people on urgency, and when I'm talking about urgency, most people think, oh, urgency is gross, or I've got to do this, or I've got to. Urgency is not the problem. It's the use of urgency that's the problem. It's how it's used. It's when it's used. It's how often it's used. That's the problem. That's what gives urgency a bad name, is that kind of thing. All right, let's dive into episode number 3 of the conversation with Dr. Tim. This one's titled, How the Job of Sales Won't Change, But the Job Description Will. Long title for a podcast episode, but one of the big things, when we get into the third part here, it's about the future of sales. And in the future of sales, one of the big topics that's coming up is AI. It's also technology in general. And one of the big things he said is that the job of sales is not going to change. And I agree with this, right? If you're having a conversation with another person in this day and age, again, if we look at Dr. Dover's book, we look at things I've been saying for years, it's because you as a human need to have a conversation with another human who's scared, is confused, has hopes, dreams, goals, ideas, things they want to accomplish, and they're not sure how to get there, and they're looking for a guide and wisdom to help pick the right path. If that's the case in this day and age, in 2023, if someone cannot buy what they need to buy without talking to you to get guidance. Now, I'm not talking about where they want to buy the software and your company has made it so painful where someone has to book a demo and talk to a salesperson instead of just ordering it online like a commodity. That's different. I'm talking where somebody says, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the best option is. Please help me. Then your job is to be a human talking to another human, which is great. Now, the job description, as Dr. Tim talks about, that's going to be different. How you go about it, how you use technology, how you adapt to communication styles, how the tech is going to help fill in what you're currently doing so that your job description is changing. I totally see that occurring, where it's, you know, it used to be about, all right, let me do some research. Let me call this person. Let me send this email. Let me build this thing. Let me do this thing. And then the technology is really going to fill in a lot of those pieces where now it's about, all right, here is this. Let me put this into the machine. Let me do all the research here at a different level. And then let me call this person and go after a conversation with them in a completely different way. And I think that's really the key here is we're going to see the role, the job of sales stay the same, but the job description, the strategies, the tactics, what you do as a salesperson is going to dramatically change. So if you're worried about AI or technology taking your job, it's probably because your job description is very basic and a robot could take your job. If your job description is more complex and if you understand that your value is being a human, then you will not be replaced by technology. But your job description will. What you're doing every day will be different, right? How it goes will be different. And that's the key to focus on. So thank you for tuning in for this episode, this breakdown and expansion, if you will, of the conversation with Dr. Tim Butler. Make sure to check out his three episodes, 651, 652, and 653. This is episode 654. So if you're here looking for the Cliff Notes, welcome. Hopefully you got some value. Make sure to go back and check out that conversation with Dr. Tim Butler. And I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.